Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 60-day rapid launch. This is the first module, the orientation and principles of emotional direct response marketing. And I'm Jim Armstrong, the coach and founder of Jim Armstrong Marketing Systems and the Inner Circle Club. And today we have my good friend, Bruce Glines, and also the team member on the line with us. And I'm going to introduce him in just a minute. Before we get started, I just want to tell you all how excited I am to have each and every one of you here. You recognized an opportunity, you saw a need in your own business or in your own life, and you're willing to open yourself up to unveil yourself to new opportunities and new ways of doing things, and you've stepped forward to become Inner Circle members, and I just really applaud you for that, and I respect you for this decision that you've made. Now, the Rapid Launch is a crash course to get the system up and running and making money for you in about 8 weeks. And as an Inner Circle Club member, you're going to be exposed to hundreds of different strategies for marketing and business systems. And for the Rapid Launch, I've selected a handful of strategies that are foundational, strategies on which to hang all the other strategies. And I like to use the analogy of a Christmas tree. The strategies you're going to learn and implement during the Rapid Launch are like setting up the tree, and all the other strategies are like ornaments that you hang once the tree is in place. But we've got to get that tree up first. Now, the program is divided into 8 modules, and we're going to cover one each week. There's a lot to learn, digest, implement, and so forth over the next couple of months, so it's critical that you block out several hours each week for implementation if you want to get it done in 60 days. And I give you some tips on doing that in a little while. But don't let yourself become overwhelmed. I want to emphasize that. You know, if you see that you're getting a little behind, it's okay. And if it takes you a little longer to implement the modules into your business, that's okay too. We've all got to, you know, run our own race, so to speak. We're all at different places in our life and our business. Just follow along during the weekly coaching sessions so you can learn the material and then implement the strategies as quickly as you can. Now, just a quick background on myself. I started my first business when I was in 8th grade, and since then I've owned a whole bunch of businesses, and I've done a lot of selling. And in that time, I've read hundreds of books, attended seminars, received coaching from top pros, and for a long time, like many business owners, I wasted time, energy, and money on traditional advertising methods. And then in 1997, I discovered emotional direct response marketing, and it truly changed my life and my approach to business. Also, there were times when my businesses owned me, and I discovered and developed business systems that gave me the freedom to live my ideal lifestyle. And I built my business around my life instead of the other way around. And that's what we're all here, that's what we're about today and what we want to teach you folks. On a personal note, I play guitar. I've done a fair amount of recording. I enjoy writing short stories, fishing, camping, backpacking with my family. So when I talk about creating an ideal lifestyle, these are the kinds of things that I enjoy doing and I want to make room in my life for. And I know each of you have those things, and that's what we want to create for you. Now, Bruce Glines has been a friend of mine for over 20 years. He has over 35 years experience in the floor covering industry, and I'm so honored and so proud to have him on my team, along with Tracy Tollison, who you're going to meet in a couple of weeks. Bruce, why don't you give us a little background on yourself?
Well, first of all, that introduction made me sound really old. Not that old, okay?
But, I've known Bruce since I was about 16, so...
Well, I just had the wonderful privilege of being able to grow up in the business. Some of you may have had that privilege as well. And my father was an installer and owned his own labor company. At one point, my grandfather owned a small carpet mill down in the L.A. area as well. So floor covering's always been a part of my life and a part of who I am. And I grew up in that atmosphere, and one thing I always heard my dad say is, one day I want to open up my own store. And I heard that so many times around the dinner table that I purposed in my heart that one day I would try to do that, basically for him. And in 1977, while I was attending community college, my wife and I decided to do that. We decided to bite the bullet. It was right in the middle of Jimmy Carter's recession. You might remember that time. But we went ahead and opened up a floor covering business, and we made a go of it. And it was very, very difficult, but we were determined that we would not fail. And that's what got us through those early years. And later, my father became my partner. It was about a year and a half into it, and about, I think it was 6 or 7 years after that, my youngest brother was invited to become part of the business as well. So it truly was a, and still is today, a family business where the family worked together and family was committed to each other to make it go, and we did. And it was 1990, I'd left the business and sold to my youngest brother and my father, and I went to pursue a dream that I had and to become a minister or a pastor, and I felt like I had a unique call on my life throughout my life. And so through the 90s to this time, I've pastored a couple of churches and founded a nonprofit that I run down in Latin America. And during this time, I've done a lot of business consulting and life coaching and things like that. And it's been an honor and a privilege to know Jim for so many years. And he's been a great friend. And it's been amazing to see how many people that he has helped along the way. So in a nutshell, that's who I am. And it's good to be able to work with you, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Now, what we're going to be covering today, of course, this is the orientation portion of the first module. We split it in half. And tomorrow we're going to cover the principles of emotional direct response marketing. And what I'm going to do is spend about the next 20 minutes or so covering the items in the orientation section. And then Bruce is going to give us some thoughts on applying this in your business. And then at the end, we're going to open it up for questions and answers. So we're going to cover a lot of material quickly. So if you could help us out, write your questions down as we go along and hold them till the end, and then we're going to spend a good amount of time on Q&A. So let's go ahead and get started. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about the coaching relationship, and you folks are going to find, as you get to know me and participate as Inner Circle Club members, that I have a sense of humor and I like to have fun. So you're going to hear that come out sometimes, and I just believe that business should be fun and should be a joy. And as entrepreneurs, we have enough stress and things in our lives, and I think it's important to have fun with it and have a sense of humor. I also think that 95% of the business game is mental, and overcoming your own personal hang-ups, getting out of your own way, and so forth. And so part of my job is to help you not be your own worst enemy. And just like any good coach, if I call you on certain things, if I hear somebody say something that, you know, indicates a self-limiting thinking or a poverty mentality or defeatist outlook or, you know, anything like that that's standing in your way, well, I'm gonna call you on it so I can help you grow. And the reason I do that is because I truly care about your success. I really want you to succeed. Now, I'm going to actually take a minute and actually read a section directly from the manual because I think it's important, and I think it spells it out pretty well, and that's on the benefits of having a coach. Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods both use coaches. Top athletes in every sport use coaches, and top performers in every business field use coaches. Only amateurs don't use coaches. And this seems counterintuitive. I mean, after all, it's the amateur who really needs the help. But perhaps that's a clue as to why some athletes and some business people never escape the ranks of amateurs. Why should Tiger Woods use a coach? Why should a multimillionaire entrepreneur use a coach? They're already successful, right? But top pros understand that it's because of good coaching that they got to where they are at. And they also understand that a coach is necessary to stay in top form. Keeping a sharp, competitive edge is so important that they pay top dollar for the best coaches so their edge doesn't become dulled. Coaches provide that second set of eyes, a perspective that comes from someone standing outside of your situation and looking in. By its very nature, this outside perspective of oneself and one's personal circumstances is impossible for you to see because you're on the inside and you always will be. How successful you are is irrelevant. Imagine a golfer trying to analyze his own swing. It's laughable. Yet that's exactly what the vast majority of business people do. They attempt to analyze and change their own business swing. They keep doing the same things the same way because from their inside perspective, they can't see what needs improving. And this makes achieving higher levels of success in their business and their life very difficult and takes a long time. Well, coaching speeds up your success. It shortens the learning curve. It gives you that second set of eyes, that outside perspective that can zero in on your weak areas and create improvements far more quickly than you could on your own. So by enrolling as an Inner Circle Club member, you've done what most of your competitors will never do, and that's get top-level coaching. And by doing this, you've instantly given yourself a tremendous advantage over every other competitor, and you've dramatically increased the likelihood that you will reach your goals and your dreams that inspired you to get into the floor covering business in the first place. Now let's talk for a minute about where my coaching focuses, and it's on two kind of broad areas, marketing systems and business systems. On the marketing portion of it, I emphasize emotional direct response marketing and farming your sphere of influence. On the business system side, emphasize creating freedom and walk-away power for the store owners, peaceful work environment for the entire team, and turning administrative tasks into marketing strategies. And my approach to marketing is unique to the flooring industry. It looks different, feels different, sounds different, but most importantly, it works. And it's a key to outmaneuvering the box stores. I like to use the analogy of a speedboat running circles around the Titanic. The boxes are big lumbering corporate bureaucracies, and their only advantage is creating the illusion of low price. And I say illusion or perception of low price because they really aren't the low price leaders. If you study them, you find that through category killers and other techniques, they really are masters at creating that perception, but they really don't. And because the average employee doesn't know a caulking gun from a crescent wrench, their service isn't good. The universal complaints about the boxes, the only selling point they have is low price, and they beat that mantra to death. And we're going to teach you to use your unique advantages as a small business owner and your maneuverability and totally outmaneuver the box stores and basically run circles around them. It's also a key to outmaneuvering the smaller competitors. The other store owners in your area, they had the opportunity. They could have become Inner Circle Club members and learned these strategies, but they didn't. You did, so you have that advantage. And by the end of the rapid launch, you're going to be far better equipped than the other dealers in your area. And after 12 months, you're going to be light years ahead of them. They're not even going to know what's going on. You're going to be so far advanced. 99.99% of business owners don't bother to do what you've done, and especially the other dealers. Now, I want to talk about making room for the big rocks. Now, have all of you taped the pink big rocks flyer to your bathroom mirror? Anyone done that?
I have.
Okay. Inner Circle Arsenal manual and the kit is a pink flyer that I want you all to tape to your bathroom mirror so you'll see it every day for the next 60 days. And that's because this is the 60-day rapid launch. It's not the someday I'll get around to it when I feel like it program. This is something that is important to you and your business. You've invested the time, energy, and money to get involved, so we want to make this happen. And I like to use the analogy of big rocks. Imagine standing in front of a table, and you've got a big empty container, and next to it you've got three big rocks, a pile of pebbles, a pile of sand, and a container of water. And you've got to get all of that to fit into that big empty container. So you start by pouring in the sand, and then you pour in the pebbles, and then you start trying to fit the big rocks down in there, and you find that you can't. Maybe you can get one of the rocks kind of partly in there, but no matter how hard you push and grind, you just can't seem to get it to fit. So you get an inspiration. You pour everything back out, and you put the three big rocks into the container first. Then you pour in the pebbles, and the pebbles filter down around the big rocks. And then you pour in the sand, and that filters down around the big rocks and the pebbles. And then you pour in the water, and that filters down around everything else. So you're able to get everything to fit. Well, the rapid launch is your big rock. You've got to put that in first. The sand, pebbles, and water are all the other stuff, the things that got to get done day to day in your business. So to make room for the big rocks, I teach a concept called time blocking. And what you do is set aside several two-hour appointments for yourself throughout the week. Just get out a calendar and make appointments for yourself, and in that appointment, write rapid launch. Try to do 8 hours a week. If you can't do that, that's okay. Just block out as much time as you can. Again, everybody's got to run his own race. We're all at different places in our business. And during that time is sacrosanct. No phone calls, no emails, let your staff know what you're doing so they don't interrupt you. Or do it somewhere else away from your business if you can. Everything else in your business is going to get done, just not during these hours that you've set aside. Now, I want to talk for a second about how to implement this system without getting overwhelmed, because there's a lot to it. And I like the analogy, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And this is a huge resource for you, and it's a tremendous benefit to have all these resources, but don't let its sheer size become a roadblock. And what I'm going to give you now is a three-step process for breaking it into bite-sized chunks. So get your pens ready, and you're going to write these down. Step one is pick two or three strategies to implement. Step two, write down a deadline for completion. And step three is get the strategies 100% up and running before moving on to any other strategies. There's tempting to read through the stuff and go, that's a good idea. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And pretty soon you're not doing any of them because there's so many ideas. So again, step one, pick two or three strategies to implement. Step two, write down a deadline for completion. And step three, get them 100% up and running before moving on to any other strategies. Now, there's two broad or two critical sets of strategies in the rapid launch. One is farming your herd of past clients and sphere of influence, and the other is the world-class installation system. So which one should you start with? Well, it depends on where you're at with your business personally right now. If your biggest challenge right now is getting more business, well, then step one, pick modules 2, 3, and 4. And those are the Connect campaign, testimonials and referrals, and building and maintaining your herd. Step two, write down the deadline to complete those. And then step three, get them 100% up and running before moving on to the other modules. Now, if your biggest challenge right now is handling all the business, being stretched too thin and wearing too many hats, then step one is to implement modules 5 and 6. That's the world-class installation system to help you get that under control. Step two, write down a deadline to complete them, and then step three, get them 100% up and running, and then go on to the rest. So following those, it really does put it into bite-sized chunks that you can handle. Now, talk about mindset for a minute. We are in a truly amazing profession, and the opportunities to make money in floor covering are just incredible. So you have the opportunity with no formal education to build your business and literally make more than the average doctor. But in reality, it's more than just the money. We all had personal reasons why we chose to enter this profession, and it's different for each of us. Maybe it was to buy a better home, provide education for our children. Maybe we were downsized or divorced, or who knows what happened. But we have reasons for why we want to be a success in this business. And that's why you've joined the Inner Circle Club, to get the tools to help you reach those dreams and goals that got you into the flooring business in the first place. So I want to encourage you to be open to new ideas. You're here to discover new ideas, new approaches, new ways of doing things. If I simply tell you what you already know or to do what everyone else is doing, what's the point? Remember, one definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So the thing about new ideas is they are a double-edged sword. On the one hand, they lead you into new territory. They can create new successes and new victories in your business and in your life. On the other hand, they can feel uncomfortable because they're new. You're not used to them. They challenge you to think differently, to look at things differently, to take new kinds of action that you've never taken before. So as an Inner Circle Club member, I want you to expect new things, expect challenges to previous ways of thinking, expect to learn new ways of doing things, expect to feel a little uncomfortable from time to time. That's normal. Look at this as a 12-month transformation. Now, you're going to see success along the way. You're going to make more money along the way, create more freedom, reduce stress, along the way, but you may have significant challenges within yourself to overcome, and you want to give yourself time to overcome those challenges. Or you may have significant challenges within your business that need reengineering. So don't get discouraged if it takes a little while. I want to remind you that you're not alone. You're embarking on a journey with other club members to create your ideal business and your ideal lifestyle. And there are just many wonderful new frontiers for you to discover. And I'm very, very excited for you. So as entrepreneurs, we tend to be lone wolves. We battle it out in the marketplace alone. We endure our tragedies and triumphs alone. And as Inner Circle Club member, you're part of a community of like-minded entrepreneurs, of right thinkers. So never forget that you're not making this journey alone. I and the other club members are here to support you, to encourage you when you're down, and to howl along with you when you succeed. You're now part of a pack of where lone wolves find fellowship. So just be encouraged by that. My marketing and business systems are broken down into three units that I call the power platform. It's before, during, and after. And I'm going to explain in a minute why I do that. The before unit involves all the systems and strategies that compel clients to call your store or do business, take action to do business with you. And this happens before they're a client. The during strategies cover all the systems used during the buying and installation process. And it's designed to do four important things. First, to provide a wow experience for your clients during the buying process and installation. Two, to turn your clients into raving cheerleaders for your store that spread the word about your service. Third, to generate on average 7 referrals from every job, so it's possible for every job or even every other job to get a new job, setting up a referral daisy chain. And then fourth is to give you walk-away power, the confidence to be able to walk away from your store for days or weeks and know that it's still running. And the after unit includes all the systems and strategies for making money after the initial sale. It's designed to turbocharge your repeat and referral business and to help you maintain your herd of clients, protect your herd from poachers, and farm them from that repeat and referral. The reason I break it up into these three units is because you talk to people differently depending on where your relationship was with them. Imagine sitting in a coffee shop with a good friend over a cup of coffee, and that conversation that you're having with them. They already know you. You know each other. And compare that to the conversation you had when you took your order with the person standing behind the counter or the interaction you had with the person that you maybe held the door open for as they walked through the door. Each one of those people you talk to and interact with differently because the various levels of your relationship, or maybe you don't have a relationship with them. So how you talk to someone before they become a client is different than the way you're going to talk to them while they're in process and becoming a client, and then afterwards, and once they've been a client and they're sending you referrals. So you'll see throughout the system I've marked strategies as before, during, or after. It's helpful to think of it in that way. Some strategies could fit in more than one unit, and you'll see that as well. Now, I want to encourage you to have fun with this as you're the Inner Circle Club, having fun with the learning, with the marketing and the business systems. You know, being a business owner carries enough stress, and you've just got to create fun and happiness in your work, and we're gonna help you do that to inject some joy and fun back into your business and into the lives of your clients. So you're going to see that a lot of the marketing examples you'll see are lighthearted, they're fun, and they're very personal. And I want you to think about the impact that that's going to have on your clients. We live in a world of terrible customer service for the most part. Your clients are used to the nightmare of dealing with nameless, faceless, personalityless corporations. They've wandered around the big box stores vainly trying to find and get help from one of the three people on duty that day. And they've served prison sentences in the endless purgatory of phone menus. They've been grunted at by the surly, disinterested fast food worker with an infected lip ring. This is the consumer business environment that your customers and potential customers deal with day in and day out. So now imagine the impact of getting one of your mailers, a photo with your smiling face, a personal message that makes them laugh or feel good. It's interesting and different. They can't help but show it to their friends. And then when they visit your store, they're amazed at the personal attention and care that is shown by your staff, that the design audit questionnaire that the salesperson has enough care and concern to walk them through that no other store is going to do. And then during the installation process, they get more fun and interesting mailers with dollar bills and lotto scratchers and balsa wood airplanes, and all the while being kept updated by your staff. You and your business are going to be perceived as an oasis of joy and fun and sanity amidst this desert of business madness and bad service. You're going to create raving fans who are just going to spread the word about your store. This is powerful. So have fun with it, folks. You and your clients could use some fun, and I think you're going to have a good time with this. Now what I want to do is shift gears for a minute and have Bruce give us his thoughts on realizing what business you're truly in. And Bruce, you and I have talked about this a lot. The majority of dealers think that the business is managing a flooring store or doing sales or managing installations. And as a result, the dealers wind up building a business that is owner-dependent. What are your thoughts on this, and how this affected your life and your business when you first opened your store?
Well, when I first opened my store back in 1977, I basically was the only employee at that time. And just shortly, I had a few employees and a few subcontractors. But in the beginning, I had to start by basically doing everything. And looking back, as we began to become more successful and begin to add employees, I continued to micromanage. And I had to have my hands in everything, every aspect of the store. I was looking over everybody's shoulder. And looking back, I probably didn't trust the employees to do a job as well as I thought that I could do the job. And so in my own case, that really led to what we call owner dependency, where every aspect of that store and its successful operation depend on the owner. And what that did in my life is I began to really lose the priority of what my life was really about. And in doing that, it just kind of continued that cycle, and it led to employees that were frustrated, they were not fulfilled, and I just basically was ended up, full-time putting out fires, changing diapers, and that type of thing. And I got to a point where the business really owned me. I didn't own the business at all, and there was very little time off. 10 to 12-hour days were commonplace. Many weekends, just worked right through the weekends, very little vacation time. And that was very difficult because it affected my life negatively. The things I wanted to do with my family, I wasn't able to do. So throughout the years, then I began to really realize that my job was not to micromanage. It was really not to be a manager, but to be a leader. And my job was to help everyone else in the business become better at what they do. So I began to, step in as a leader. I began to provide training and equipping and empowering people to do what they were good at, to do what I hired them to do. So it was a long process, probably about an 8 to 9 year process, where I finally got to the point that I learned I was not there to micromanage everybody else's job, but to lead a store and to market our products and to sell floor covering and sell good service to people.
Well, you said something there that stands out, and that's being, leadership and providing the training and the tools, to help them be the best in their area. And what we want to do, Bruce, we've talked about that a lot, is shorten that learning curve, because, what if we could have cut that to 6 to 12 months for you, to where you could have created those systems and so forth? I mean, what kind of impact would that have had?
Well, it would have not only changed, the face of our business, it would have changed my life, it would have changed our employees' lives, our subcontractors. And again, as you know, I begin to lead, I begin to see a change in people, and people were happy to be at work. We begin to have fun at what we were doing, and we begin to become successful. We begin to dream about places that we can go and things that we could do together. And if I had the tools and the training to be able to do that in the first 6 to 12 months of my business, it would have revolutionized my life and the business and those that we serve and our customer base as well.
Well, one of the concepts that we teach is that you are the owner of a flooring dealership. As the owner, you're not an installer or a salesperson or a warehouse manager or any of the other job descriptions in your business. Now, you may be performing some of those jobs right now, wearing some of those hats, but that is not your primary function. This is your job description. This is the business you are truly in. So get ready to write this down. You are a marketer of flooring services. You're in the marketing business, and the product you happen to be marketing is flooring. And this is a subtle distinction, but it's an important one. Bruce, what kind of difference would that have made in your business, you know, if you'd approached it that way from the beginning?
Well, again, it's much like, you know, what I've just said. It would have changed my whole approach to business. It wouldn't have taken me 8 or 9 years to get to a point where I realized that changes had to be made. And at that point in the business, I was a small dealer, was starting out on my own. I was undercapitalized and just struggling day to day, and I didn't have, you know, any access to some of the tools that you've discovered, Jim, and you've been helping people with in business for years. And if I would have had access to something like that, I could have. I know that we would have got over that hump a lot earlier. We would have become successful earlier and more fulfilled, and all the things that I previously mentioned.
Sure, absolutely. You know, let's talk about lifetime value of a client. Most dealers and their employees tend to be transaction oriented, which means they focus just on the value of the immediate sale from a client, rather than the value of all the future sales and referrals from that client. So let's just say your average job ticket is $5,000. Maybe yours is a little less, maybe it's a little more, but let's use that number. Well, then the lifetime value of that client, once you figure in repeat and referral business, could be $25,000, $50,000, or $80,000. And in the manual, I do some math that you can look in and see why that's very possible and very likely. Bruce, why do you think that so many dealers ignore lifetime value and instead focus just on that single transaction?
Well, I think it's because of the time pressure that we face on a day-to-day basis in the flooring business. And the flooring business is unlike many other businesses where a single transaction may take you, 4 to 6 weeks to complete from the time the customer walked in the front door to the time that you successfully install a job. And in that time, there's probably 40, 50, maybe more steps or areas to cover to make that installation a successful installation and have a satisfied customer. And when you have maybe 20 jobs in process at the same time, you just have a lot of time pressures and things that need to be done by a certain time and different needs that are pulling you in every direction. Also, it's not only the time requirement of the jobs that you're in process with, but as a store owner and a manager of your store, as a leader of your store, you have to produce a profit. And so you're focusing on the jobs at hand to make sure that you satisfy those customers to produce profit that will be a blessing to all those that are involved in your store. And then there's other, there's other pressures as well when you run into problems or challenges in the business that come up and they've got to be addressed immediately. And so there's just so many things that are distracting you from the big picture and really requiring you to focus on the needs of the day, of that time. And so that's probably, that's what I have found personally and consulting with many businesses, that it's just that daily pressure of being able to produce and to satisfy our customers.
Well, you're talking about also being reactive instead of proactive, and you're kind of always in that hot seat, you know, running, just trying to stay caught up. And I've certainly been there. You've been there. And so I think everyone really either intuitively or consciously is aware of lifetime value to a certain degree. But yeah, like you said, the day to day can get in the way of that. And we want to solve that problem for folks who are having that challenge. And I think that ties right into the subject of generating repeat and referral clients. And everyone knows that repeat and referral clients are the best for business. They're easier to work with. They already trust us. They have low price resistance, and there are no advertising costs. So for most dealers, repeat and referral business sort of happens as a happy accident. Bruce, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good a job do most floor dealers do on consistently and systematically farming their past client database for that repeat and referral business?
Well, from the experience I've had with consulting and coaching and that type of thing, I would say probably 5 to 6, maybe 7. One thing that I have found out is people who are in ownership of floor covering dealers are very solid people. They're great managers. They're usually great family people, and they have a handle on their business. But because of the pressures, we tend not to do well looking at the big picture. And we know it's there, and we're aware of that, and I think that everyone knows that is, the direction that we need to go, but because of everything else, many times we fail to step back and look at the big picture and prioritize that.
Sure.
And it's so important because when you begin to pursue that, a business that is a good business can become a great business when you develop your referral base.
I agree. I totally agree. I just, as an aside, I basically generate the vast majority of my income comes from repeat and referral clients. I learned that early on, and I made a shift from cold marketing to warm marketing, and we're going to get into that a little later. Once I looked at the numbers, it just became so obvious to me. But why do you think it is that most dealers ignore their past client database?
Well, again, I think it's two things. And first, the lack of time, and we've already talked about that. And I think that every one of us that are on this conference call would just agree with that wholeheartedly, the lack of time. And the second thing is the lack of know-how. And I know that for myself in the early years, I thought I could just depend on my skills as being a good installer. And that the skills that I had acquired in that portion of the business would make me a good businessman. But I found out early on that I didn't know how to do what I endeavored to do being a businessman. And I had very few resources to go to. And then when I began to realize that, I began to educate myself and seek out help and coaching and different things like you're offering. And that helped, but basically the lack of time from day-to-day pressures and the lack of know-how.
Okay, that certainly makes sense. And we're going to, in the rapid launch, we dig in very deeply, very detailed, actually beginning next week with the Connect, the Connect campaign. We're going to start digging right into that, farming the past client database. And then the week after, we'll have Tracy Tolleson, who will be, we're going to be talking about building and maintaining your herd. Okay, well, we've covered most of the material that we needed to today, and what I want to do right now is go ahead and open up to question and answers. If you have a question, just kind of state your name and give us your question. Anyone have any questions? None? Somebody's got to have at least one.
Hi, Jim. This is Todd from By Design.
Hey, Todd.
Late, but I just wanted to say we caught in there at the beginning. I guess most of this is standard issues that everybody sees in the floor covering every day.
Sure.
We were late because we were running around doing the warehouse job.
I hear you. So you're helping to make Bruce's point a little bit there. Kind of a by example lesson there. Hi. How are you guys doing down there, Todd?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so we'll just be quiet and listen on. I have no questions at this point.
Okay, all right. Well, a lot of what we've covered today is pretty straightforward. You may not have any questions. That's fine. Not a problem. Hopefully that means I did a good job writing the materials and putting it together rather than it's just totally confusing. did everybody get something out of today's call?
Yeah, sorry. If I could, I would like to ask a couple of questions.
Yeah, sure.
I just had my phone on. Steve D'Angelo with Main Place.
Hey, Steve.
Hi there. A couple of things. First is earlier in the call, you talked about kind of the prioritization of path forward, whether it be to really work hard on the marketing side of things, primarily modules 2, 3, and 4,
mm-hmm.
Or to pursue the world-class installation programs. I'm thinking that it might be more valuable for me to pursue the world-class installation programs, free up my time, and then I can become a full-time marketer. However, it sounded like your itinerary for upcoming calls and things of that nature were down the path of marketing modules. So I just wanted to ask you about that, see if you could kind of give me your input on whether it would be still productive for me to pursue the world-class installation approach initially, even though we'd be going over a lot of marketing stuff.
Oh, absolutely, Steve. These modules, you know, they are tied together. The analogy I like to use is of imagine having 10 pieces of string, each one that can support 1 pound of weight. And if you braid those, so they can hold 10 pounds total individually, but you braid those pieces together, now maybe they can hold 100 pounds or more. And that's the way these systems work, is by themselves they work well, but together it multiplies their effectiveness. But that doesn't mean you can't skip around a little bit. We just had to kind of pick an order. By all means, move ahead to the world-class installation system. You've got the forms on the CD-ROM. It's really, I went in great detail explaining how it works. Start working on it now, by all means. Not going to hurt a bit. And you and I, before you joined, you know, the club, had discussed some of your challenges. And so I know you right now, your challenge, in fact, when I was writing this section where I said the two different approaches, when I said you might want to start with the world-class installation system, I was thinking of you. Definitely.
Well, that's great. I've made the decision to hire a full-time person to work in that project coordinator role. Let's take on some other tasks, et cetera. And I was wondering if maybe if you could just give us your idea of what you see as kind of the personality and characteristic makeup of that person.
Oh, the project coordinator?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want someone that's going to interact well with people. They don't even really need to be a flooring expert per se. They're going to have to learn your processes, but they don't have to know how to do installations and all this. What's far more important would be to somebody that just has a friendly personality, because they're going to be contacting your clients, and they're going to be kind of that frontline ambassador for your store. And then when they're talking to your vendors, I mean your vendors, you know, the distributors, the manufacturers, the shippers. You want to maintain those good relationships, and somebody that's got a good personality is just going to help on both ends. So, yeah.
So they really don't get into the technical aspects of flooring installation with clients or installers?
Absolutely not necessary. If an installation problem comes up, they should be talking to the salesperson. The job of the project coordinator is like a conductor of an orchestra, you know, kind of guiding things and pointing directions. So if an installation problem comes up, what the project coordinator should do is immediately schedule a phone appointment with the salesperson, not try to handle that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you've got a salesperson who is handling the project coordinator hat, you know, we're going to get into, you know, different people wearing different hats and we're so forth. Well, yeah, then they could do it, but they're just going to guide and direct the client of the appropriate person to talk to.
Okay.
Yeah. Good questions. Anyone else?
Would you mind if I just asked one more?
Sure.
I'd love to get a little input from anybody that's willing on this. I have read through your ideas on warranties, your no regrets guarantee, and your lifetime installation warranty. And as predicted, it scared the bejeevers out of me. I'm certain it's a good idea, but I'm worried that, you know, lifetime's a long time. And what I don't want to do is get into situations where we are splitting hairs on whether, you know, the flooring installation company ought to be responsible for something, or whether it's kind of a natural course of events or client error. And I don't know how to, you know, kind of protect myself from those kinds of situations. And so I'd just like to hear from anybody that maybe is doing these kinds of things and how that works.
Let's do this, Steve. I want to do the same thing, but what we're going to be doing is tomorrow's session, we're dedicating like the last third of it to this very topic. And Bruce has a ton of input. Bruce has also done consulting with a number of floor covering companies, dealers. He has personally had experience with these exact kinds of warranties, where they had to self-insure it, you know, where they, if, you know, if something came up, they were eating the cost. And they made it very profitable. And Bruce is going to have some actual statistics for us tomorrow to give you guys a comfort level and some hard numbers so that you can have a comfort level with that and feel good about trying it. So if we could do that, Steve, let's hold off till tomorrow where we'll really be able to lay the whole thing out and then kind of get go into more depth and ask more questions. If that's okay.
That's great. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have a question concerning this. This is Russ in Colorado.
Hey, Russ.
Well, Bruce, you were saying that you were in the carpet business a few years ago. The mills these days, they give us these deck boards and these cards with little tiny dots of carpet color. And when the customer buys the carpet, it gets put into their house. It doesn't look the same as those little tiny swatches that they give us to put on our showrooms. I've had this happen more than one time where the customer would say, boy, that didn't look anything like the color that was on the card, and I got to bring it down, and I got to match it up, and I got to explain to them about dye lot variation and intensity of color and this and that, and try to satisfy why it isn't the same color that they picked out in the showroom. Now, if we have that warranty, I'm just afraid that this could backwash on me a little bit. Now, these numbers that Bruce is showing, are they recent numbers, or are they 15 or 20 years ago when they had, you know, full 13 by 15 or 13 by 17 samples that we could show the customer?
Well, excuse me, Russ, is that your name?
Yes.
Yeah. I have continued to do consulting and been very involved in the industry up to this time, and I do understand where you're coming from exactly, okay? And I've been there and done that, and we're working with dealers that do that. And we can address this tomorrow, and there are several different approaches that you can take to this or take in leading up to this. But a big part of what you do is how you're selling the customer as well. And
if I can interject something, Bruce, that part of this is going to tie in with the design audit that's going to help with the selection process to begin with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it all works together. And Bruce, you can go ahead. Bruce is going to get into some, and I both are into some ways you can mitigate the cost to really reduce your exposure on these kinds of things.
And so we can go into that tomorrow because we have a time frame committed to that. But there are several different approaches that you can take. And it's how you're selling the job and how high that you're selling that job and how informed that your customer is and how much detail that you put into that as well. And we do have some statistics on several stores that I've worked with that are current, and I can share those with you and give you some ideas and some directions that you can choose and some options that you can take in doing that. And so I'm looking forward to sharing some of those things with you tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I think it's powerful, and there's again, you're going to find out tomorrow there's ways to mitigate that risk. One thing that is positive, I mean, you guys are bringing up, you know, you're going like, oh my gosh, this warranty is blowing me away. Well, you want to, when you learn how to do this and mitigate the risk so that it's not creating that so your the fears that you're feeling don't come to pass, I want you to turn that around, and between now and tomorrow, think about the impact that will have on your clients when you roll out that guarantee to them. Say, oh, by the way, if you don't like it, we'll replace it in 30 days, and you go into it. That's going to blow their mind. There's a lot of dealers out there that are offering this. You just don't hear about it because they don't market it properly. This really is not something new. It's been around for a long time, but you just don't hear about it because most dealers are afraid of it. And we're going to show you how to not be afraid of it and you're actually going to have fun with it. I promise you that. We'll get into that more tomorrow. We've got about 3 more minutes, folks, here till we're out of time. Do we have any other questions, last-minute questions?
I have a question.
Sure. Who's this?
Hopi's from Design West.
Okay.
And I know this would kind of sound a little weird, but I'm not the boss of this company.
Okay.
And I was wondering, is it imperative for my boss to be listening to all this? Because it sounds like it's geared towards something he would need to be hearing.
Yes, absolutely. The boss needs to be on the line. It's okay to have other Sophie, for you to be on the line as well. In fact, I encourage managers or salespeople to be on, but definitely need to be on the line. There's just too much that you would have to try and convey to your boss that's just not going to come through. You know, you're a student right now as well, so critical that he's on the calls. The other thing is, we are going to be recording these. I mean, like I said, we are recording these, and you're going to be getting it. So the fact that he missed today's is not critical, but definitely needs to be on tomorrow's and the rest of them.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else? All right, folks. Well, I appreciate you all being here. This is exciting. We've got tomorrow's call, which is the second half, Principles of Emotional Direct Response Marketing. And again, we've dedicated a significant portion of that to talking about the different warranties and guarantees and how to make those work. And I think we're going to have a good time. Folks, thanks for being here, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.